What do you think? All right, let's look at chapter 7. Let's chant the, what page are we on here? 321. So we'll chant the Sanskrit, then we'll come back and read the English, and then we'll start with chapter 8. So ready? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Saktam Anarparta Yogam Yujan Marashrayaha Asam Shayam Samagram Mam Yatagyasya Chitachrinu Gyanam Teham Savigyanam Idam Vyaksham Echetasa Yas Kantva Neha Buyon Yas Kantva Yam Shishate Manushanam Sasreshu Kaschid Yatiti Sireye Kaschim Mambiti Tatvataha Boomer upon a low bayou, come and over a vacha. Am karaiti ame, pina pakritirashtara. Apare yamitas to anyam, prakritim viri me param. Jiva bhutam mahabaho, yedam daite jagad. Eta junini bhutani, sarvanityu upadaya. Aham kritsnasya jagata. Prabhava Pariyastata Matta Paratanam Nanyat Kinchirasti Nananjaya Mayi Sarva Midam Protam Sute Mani Ganaiva Nasam Apsikunteya Babajmi Sasi Suryayo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Sandake Purusham Nishu Punyo Ganda Pritivjam Cha Tejas chasmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvisu bijamam sarva bhutanam viriparta sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam hasmi teja tejas vyam yaham kama raga vivarjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava yechaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasasthaye mata eveti tam vidhi natvam nandishvatesham trivir gunamayir bhavir eve sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhi janati Mama mibhyam paramaviyam Daivyesha gunamayi Mama maya dharatyaya Maya metan tarantite Namam jiskituna mura Prapadyante naradama Maya ya prita jnana Asaram bhava maristaha Chatur vira bhajante mam Jana sukriti narjuna Artho jigansar artati Gani cha varatar shava Tesham gani nityukta Eka bhaktir vishishate Priyohi jani no dartam Hamsa cha mapapiyaha Gani taimai vamaimatam Asita sahi yuktatma Mame vanu otam gatin Bahunam jamanam mante Ganavamam prapadyante Vasudeva savamiti Samahatma sadurlabaha Kamaistais tarita jnana Prapadyante na devata Tam tam niyamam drishtaya Prakrita niyata swayam Yo yo yam yam tam num bhakta Shraya yarchitam iti Tasya tasya chalam shadam Sataya shraya yuktas Tasya radana mihate Labante chatata kamam Mayayam itanitam Antavantu falam tesham Tadbhavadya pamedasa Devam deva yajo yanti Madbhakta yanti mamapi Manyate mama buddhaya param bhavam ajananta mamavya manutamam Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samamvritaha muroyam nabi janati lokamama jamavayam
vedaham samatitani vartamanani chaduna
bhavishani chaburtani mamtu vedana kashchana
vicharayasya samottena
anomena bharata
sarvabhutani
namoham
Sreyami parantapa
Yesham tungatadam papam Chananam punyakarmanam Tejanva mohinir mukta Pajante mam dhridavataha
Jaramara moksha
Yam mama shritya yajanti ye Tejvamata vidukrichtam Ajatma karma chachalam Sariputani devamam Sari yagnam chaye vidu prana kale chipyam te vidu yukti te tasa. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 and do the English maybe. Let's see, we can almost all read one verse.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga, in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt.
I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know.
Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight constitute my separated material energies.
Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature.
O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me.
You missed one.
All created beings have their souls in this true nature. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution.
O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread.
O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon. The syllable Om is the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man.
I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am the heat and fire. I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all ascetics.
O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men.
I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas. Arjuna.
Know that all states of being, by way of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am, in one sense, everything, but I am independent. I am not under the mode of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me.
Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible.
This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me.
O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute.
Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me.
All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal.
After many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare.
Those whose intelligence whose intelligence has been stolen by the material desire surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own nature.
I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity.
Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtain his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone.
Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. But my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet.
An intelligent man who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme.
I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible.
O Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows.
O Sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate.
Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination.
Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities.
Those in full consciousness of me, who knows me, the Supreme Lord to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death.
Okay, so that was the last verse. Let's read that one more time.
Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death.
Okay, so without looking at chapter 8, what do you think the subject of chapter 8 is going to be?
Attaining Supreme.
So what do you think they'll talk about? What to do at the time of death. It's going to start with Arjuna asking questions about how to attain him at the time of death, because Krishna says, you can attain me at the time of death. So Arjuna is going to be asking about that, and then Krishna is going to be answering.
To understand and know Krishna.
Could you give him the microphone, please? The reason we use the microphones is because there are devotees in the kitchen who are listening to the class.
The final verse says, he can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So understanding and knowing of God should be the matter of interest now.
Yeah. They'll be discussing all these points in the next chapter.
Arjuna will also inquire about Brahman. Because there is reference to material manifestation, he's going to inquire about what the material activity is, and he's also going to inquire into Brahman for Krishna to define it.
Hare Krishna.
He'll also inquire about activities, like, because the objective is attaining the Supreme, so he'll ask what is karma or what activities are prescribed.
Hmm. Talkative group tonight.
It says that even at the time of death, so I feel that there is never too late. Krishna is always waiting for us.
So even at the time of death, right, he says even. So it's not too late, even at the time of death. Nice point. So before we go on to chapter 8, it's just, I'm having a hard time leaving chapter 7. It's just so nice. We just chanted all the verses. And when we were reading the verses, I was trying to decide which one was my favorite, you know. And I think, well, this one, no, that one. So I just wanted to hear from the devotees here if you had a favorite verse from this chapter. Is there one that you particularly like? Or that you find inspiring or confusing or... Yes?
My favorite is Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchitasti Dhananjaya. Mai Sarvamidam Proktam Sutre Maniganaiva. Krishna says that all living beings rest in me just like pearls are strung among the thread. So Krishna is, you know, he's kind of giving his superior position to above everyone else. And then he says that, he also compares that like pearls, you know, the whole cosmic manifestation is just dependent because he's, you know, the sustaining energy behind it. So I just kind of, it's like, you know, I'm the autocrat here. Nothing goes without me. So it's just, but he says it not with pride, but he says it, you know, with authority. So
can you just tell the devotees which verse that is?
Yeah. Which page? So it's page 330. O conqueror of wealth.
So which verse is it?
Text 7.
Text 7. 7-7.
So
And the way Krishna also addresses is also Dhananjaya. So he says, you know, Arjuna, you've conquered everything, you've conquered wealth, but then I just want to tell you that nothing, but everything is dependent on me. So I kind of, the way, you know, the beautiful arrangement of words, the way the Lord speaks also is very, very nice.
Thank you.
So the text is, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread.
All right. Thank you. The acharyas, they use this verse to substantiate that Krishna is the superior of all superior forms of God. Because in this verse, Krishna is referring to himself as Krishna, this form of Krishna. And this is, I think, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he was mentioning that verse 1 is the most quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada. And this ranks right up there with, like, within number 2 or 3 or 4. Mata Paratram Nanya. So it's a good verse to learn and memorize. If you're into memorizing verses, this would be a good one to learn.
Verse 17.
Number 17.
Says Tesham Jnani Nichayukta Eka Bhaktir Visishate Priyohi Jnanino Chardam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. One who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in devotional service is the best, and I am dear to him, and he is dear to me. Actually, I was thinking about, like, if we suppose somebody engages in devotional service but he doesn't have knowledge. So maybe he, in due course of time, he may understand and know, and he may attain knowledge. But one who reaches that stage, who gets full knowledge and also engages devotional service, means he's the best. So everybody should strive for that. That is ultimate goal.
Nice point.
I just had a question. In 15th verse, he says, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So, I mean, I'm just wondering what Krishna is trying to say here, because when he only says that everybody is strung like pearls around him, right? So everything, all these people, aren't they just part of him too?
Yes.
So why does he call these people like this and say that they cannot surrender unto me? Is there no way that?
Well, yes, and you know, it also one verse tends to lead into the other. So, the previous verse, first two verses, 13 and 14. Let's read those, so we can see the context of why Krishna is saying this. Why don't you just read 13 and read 14.
13 says, deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible.
Okay, so that's the condition of everyone in here, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then next.
And then he says, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Can you read that one more time, please?
Okay. So he says, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
So first Krishna is mentioning the condition in the material world. Then he's explaining that, you know, he says everyone's under these modes. Then he's explaining, if you surrender to me, you can become free of these modes. And then he's saying, so he's mentioning how one surrenders. Now he's mentioning who doesn't surrender to me. And then in the next verse after that, he's going to explain four types of people who begin the process of surrender. So he's describing the condition of this world, and gradually how the souls become elevated out of this condition. So the lowest are those who are very much in the modes of passion and ignorance, and they have this aversion to God.
Yeah, is there any reason for that? Why are they made that way?
It's not why are they made that way. It's the soul isn't that way. But when the soul comes, and the soul is dreaming here. So, of course it's serious, but it's not that serious. Because it's a dream. And it's a pastime. And so the souls come here, and they get into this illusion and avoiding and become inimical towards God. And then gradually through their time here, they become lovers of God again. So this creation is for the glory of God. And this pastime is for the glory of God. And it's a temporary pastime. And so the souls come here and they forget God so they can remember God and fall in love with Him. It's a special rasa. Right? It's you know, in duality, you know, you can't have hot without cold. Right? You can't have love without hate. And so it's, you know, to ask the question why is you can easily get into a mind spin about this, but what's important is to look at what's here and now, and what is the actual condition, right? You don't really have to speculate it. You can just observe what's here. We see in this material world there are those who are inimical towards the Lord, right? And they're attracted to atheistic philosophies because of these modes. But eventually, their hearts will change.
Yeah, many times even I'm on the verge of that. Sometimes even I feel the same way, but then I come back and think, okay, there is nothing that we can really understand. So I probably wonder why such things are.
No, the opportunity is always there. But when one becomes inimical, actually one never becomes inimical, but one is under the influence of the false ego. The false ego is saying, I and mine, right? Just for example right now, are you this body?
Yeah.
And are you this mind? But how are you thinking all the time?
Sorry?
But really, okay. How are you thinking all the time? Most of the time, are you aware that you're not this body and mind?
No.
Most of the time you're thinking, this is my body, right?
Yeah, so when God says people who surrender, who surrenders? I or who should surrender? I'm not the person.
There's no one there. No. He's referring to the jiva who comes out of his illusion, basically. And that jiva is always there. And the jiva is fine. You know, the jiva, you, me, we're eternal. We're full of knowledge. And we're also full of happiness and bliss. But when we identify with the false ego and with the mind and the body, then we're in a dream. We're dreaming. Although we're awake, we're not awake. So really, Krishna is talking about someone who's awake to the fact that they're awake, who knows they're awake. And then that person, he understands everything is Krishna and he surrenders to him. And it's a pastime, you know, that the souls are going through in this material world. It's the Srishti Lila.
Okay.
Which is the verse which we actually discussed in the last class since it came up. That's that verse. No, 719, which is the Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudev Sarvam Itis Sa Mahatma Su Durlaba. After many births and death, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. Yeah. This is the person who has come to the realization that Vasudeva or Krishna is everything. And it could be a gnani or a yogi who has been practicing gnana yoga or paramatma realization. Finally comes to this realization that beyond what they have been practicing, there is Vasudeva, because he's the creator of the universe. Everything comes from him, including the living entities, and nobody is greater than him. So his response is that he surrenders. And I was actually to point out another verse that is related to it, which is would be one of my favorite verses, and that is 7:3, which I think is related to the Bahunam verse, because he talks about this individual in verse text 3 of chapter 7, and that is the Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschimam Veti Tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And so this one person that he's referring to, the rare soul, Mahatma Sudurlaba, he brings it up in verse 19. He says that here, out of many who are trying to achieve perfection, several may do, but out of that, there is only one who understands me. And that's that rare soul who comes to the position that Vasudeva is everything in 7:19, finally surrenders to him.
Thank you. How's that? Is that okay?
Sorry?
Are you okay there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have some new hands here.
I liked many verses that were quoted already.
Mm-hmm.
And me too. And I wanted to point out text 21.
Okay.
And I particularly like the first line that says that I am in everyone's heart as the super soul.
Mm.
And the point of this verse is that Krishna is fulfilling desires of the living entity.
Mm.
And according to the desires, he strengthens the face of the living entity in the demigod or himself. So our goal is to have this desire, to make Krishna our life, and then Krishna will fulfill it. So this gives us hope to achieve it.
Die.
Because Krishna is in everyone's heart, and Krishna knows our desires.
I was just thinking of the same verse as what Mataji just said, and recently when I was reading Bhagavad Gita, I realized this after having read so many times that when he says that, if somebody is praying to any one particular demigod, now the demigod probably doesn't even know if you're desiring it or not. It's Krishna who actually knows that you're desiring it, and Krishna is the one who gives you that. But you feel, because you have the faith in that particular demigod, that it's happening to you. Because before I got to Krishna consciousness, I was kind of very attached to one demigod. I mean, so whenever I used to pray, it used to happen. So I started realizing that Krishna is the one who is actually getting everything done. But I wasn't realizing it was Krishna. And I was thinking that it's the demigod who's fulfilling my desire.
Sounds like you came to Vasudevam Sarvamiti. But that makes me think of, a verse in chapter 9 where Krishna says that those who worship the demigods are actually worshiping him, but they're worshiping him in the wrong way because they don't know it. Yeah.
Why wouldn't the demigod know what you desire?
I personally feel that just because Krishna is the super soul in your you, and I feel that because Krishna is the super soul and he's the only one who knows about everything, A to Z. Now, demigods are powerful than all of us, being in this material platform, I mean, being in this earthly planet, but demigods are also in the material world. So they probably know more than what we know, but they don't know exactly what we think and things like that just because they are not the Paramatma. Prabhuji might correct me. I mean, I'm just thinking that way because I feel that Krishna is the only one who knows about your past, present, and future things. And maybe there are demigods who know some amount of each of these, but not everything, because Krishna is the supreme. Please correct me, Prabhuji.
I have no idea. when we speak, it's best if we can support whatever we're saying with the shastra, and then there's no, you know, speculation involved. Of course, we have our opinions and our assumptions about things and how things work. And you know, the in one sense, the demigods are extensions of the Supreme Lord. And he explains how, you know, he manifests as the demigod. So he can give them different powers. And it's explained, like, for example, that the jiva souls in this universe, you know, they are all in the body of Brahma, you know, before they become manifest. You know, and everything's contained within the stem. So, yep, Brahma's a living entity, you know, like us. So Krishna, he can give his power, you know, to the demigods, to any amount that he wants to, you know. And of course, Lord Shiva, he practically has power of the Paramatma, and knows everything. And even some great yogis, you know, or Trikala Gant, you know, they know past, present, and future. So, you know, all jivas are part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna can empower that jiva, you know, to do all kinds of things. One thing is, you know, we can only go on shastra, sadhu, and sadhu. And then on the other hand, we also have to accept it that everything is inconceivable and that we're looking at this world, this mind and body, in a very linear fashion, you know, which is three-dimensional. But there's all kinds of dimensions going on that we're not aware of. And some of these dimensions, you know, the demigods are involved in, and they are aware of, and we're not. But when it comes to questions like that, it's best just to not guess and just, you know, prove your point with the shastra. What do you think? Microphone.
No, I heard that demigods doesn't want to come here to the earth like they used to come before, just because they're not interested anymore. But at the same time, I have a question that they still getting power by sacrificials which devotees made here on earth. So I remember all the stories when the demigod would be very interested that the sacrificials will be made in proper way. Like Indra, when Krishna stopped this sacrificial, Indra become very mad. Because why? Because he would be interested that the sacrificial to be made it, and his, you know, to get power from this. And I never heard that this order has been changed from those times. It looks like they're still getting powers from the sacrifices which people made here on earth, but they don't show themselves to us here. And that in sort of way that stops...
Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to see him.
Yeah. But as I remember, it was regular. The visits was regular thing. So people would see them. So now I've got some answer that they're in different dimensions, right? So the people have been changed, their vision changed and everything. But my concern is that they still need the sacrificials, that they still need this power. So that's my question.
The answer is on 3.10 to 3.12.
Very nice.
In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth the generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna, because its performance
will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." So the emphasis is on the yajna, which has to be done. Okay, next one. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And by this cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. So the emphasis is on the demigods have to be will need to be pleased for the prosperity to happen, for rain to come, and all that. And the next one says, in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all the necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Mm-hmm. So if we don't offer sacrifices to demigods, it is written in Bhagavad Gita in black and white that we will be thieves. Simple, nothing. There's a tendency to think that we are better than demigods all the time in ISKCON, especially.
That's a nice, anyway, those are nice points, and I think that really answers your question. My question is what is the sacrifice recommended in this age? So the Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in the age of Kali, and the demigods are pleased by that. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his visions, you know, just like when we sing the evening artic, part of the song is that he sees that Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, Brahma are there, you know, worshipping Lord Chaitanya. And of course, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, many of his associates are demigods. Right? Haridasa Thakur's incarnation of Lord Brahma. And Narada Muni is Srivas. And Lord Shiva is Advaita Acharya, is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And so the demigods are coming here incognito, you know, and they're engaging in the pastimes of the Lord. And they're aware of what's going on. Just like in the case of Gajendra, right, when he's praying for help. The all the demigods were watching this episode of Gajendra fighting with the crocodile, and he's praying to the Supreme, who he doesn't know who the Supreme is, right? But he's praying to the Supreme for help. So all the demigods are crowded around and they're watching this, and they're not helping him because he's not asking for them. Right? He's not asking for Indra, please help me, Shiva, please help me, Brahma, please help me. He's just saying the Supreme, and he doesn't have a clear conception of who the Supreme is. So who helps him out? Lord Vishnu, because he's the Supreme. And so the demigods are aware of this, but they're not acting. So how are they aware of it, you know? So at some point?
Yeah, the Sukeshwari Mataji's question, I mean, it all got started with her inquiry why, I mean, worshipping demigods and how they actually satisfy the desires. How will they actually know? Here in the purport, Prabhupada clearly writes, The Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul is also present within the heart of the demigod. 351. Purport to verse 21. Towards the last part of the purport, last quoted part, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul is also present within the heart of the demigod. Therefore, he arranges through the demigod to fulfill the desire of the living entity.
But, wow, there it is.
But both the demigod and the living entity are dependent on the supreme will. They are not independent.
Very nice. We're getting near the time there. One last comment or question. Okay.
Yeah, well, I heard in a lecture a long time back that even if you worship demigod, but if you don't ask anything, that demigod is bound to give you Krishna bhakti as a fruit.
And where did you hear that?
In one of the ISKCON lecture, but I don't. I need to know the reference.
I have no idea. I don't know. I've never heard that.
And it literally happened in my life too.
So you have personal experience.
But I was shocked when I heard that. Mm-hmm. And because it literally happened like that. When I used to go in ISKCON program for a few months, I used to chant the demigod. Whenever they used to ask to do mala, I will do the other mala. And one day it came in the lecture and I was completely stunned, and then the one brahmachari requested me that, can you do one mala? And I felt so miserable that this is the fact and somebody has to request me, so I started chanting straight away four. And a week later he asked me that, how are you doing? I mean, can we go to two? Then I immediately did eight. But like slowly by Krishna's mercy and devotee's mercy, it happened like that. And it happened in a flash right in front of my eyes. So I need to know that where is that verse which came. Because after that we moved to US and I completely got disconnected from that congregation.
Well, I'd like to know that verse too. It, you know, it makes sense. You know, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. And devotees are demigods are devotees, so they're like any other devotees. And devotees, they're full of Krishna bhakti and they're full of mercy for others. And by their association, we receive bhakti. So why can't demigods distribute bhakti to those who are desireless? Yeah. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Mm-hmm. So we should end here because everyone has to get up and go to work tomorrow, at least most people. So so we'll have Artik and then Prasadam. So Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, assembled devotees ki jai.